I'd like now to introduce to the program Eric Jantz. He's a staff attorney with the New Mexico Environmental Law Center. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte. I appreciate the opportunity.
So we like to check in with you guys every once in a while and see what's going on and see what you're doing to defend the environment of New Mexico. There was a hearing last week involving Mount Taylor and mining permits there, Mount Taylor being a sacred mountain to many different Native American groups. What's happening there?
Right. So the hearing last Wednesday involved a standby permit application for the Mount Taylor mine. It's a it's an old uranium mine. It's been dormant for the last 20 years. It hasn't done any mining for the last 20 years. It mined for approximately 8 years since it originally opened. So it has extracted some resources, but it's been dormant for the vast majority of its life. And since it's been dormant, all the mine features and waste rock piles have been sitting and festering for many, many years. So the mine company, Rio Grande Resources, which is a division of General Atomics, requested another five-year standby period where it can just let the mine sit for another 5 years. The Law Center represents a couple of conservation community groups who not necessarily opposed the standby permit, but wanted the Mining and Minerals Division, which regulates mining in New Mexico, to require some interim reclamation of the mine, most specifically an old waste rock pile that is sitting and contaminating groundwater at that mine site.
Well, let's talk about that for a moment. I mean, there's a bigger picture of what happens when a mine is no longer in use, whether it's temporary or permanent, but when a mine is abandoned and not cleaned up, what happens? And in this case specifically, is groundwater actively being contaminated? Do we know?
We do know. So when mines are inactive, now, mining is a boom and bust industry. When the commodity price of whatever mineral is high, mines operate. When it's low, they shut down, either temporarily or permanently. And when they shut down, they need to be either need to be reclaimed if they shut down permanently, or they need to be tended to and have some interim reclamation if they shut down temporarily to make sure that the other resources aren't contaminated. I mean, mining is a heavy industry, and it pollutes. There's no way around that. But operators can take steps to reduce and, in some cases, eliminate pollution. So at the Mount Taylor mine, we do know that there is groundwater pollution. There's a groundwater, alluvial groundwater, spreading across around 8 to 9 acres at the mine site that we know from groundwater monitoring data is polluted with uranium.
Is that getting into the drinking water supply of communities in that area?
At this point, no.
Uranium mining has long been a problem in terms of, I mean, on the one hand, there is job creation. On the other hand, there is a lot of illness that goes along with that job creation.
Yeah, that's right. And like I said, it's a boom and bust industry. Mining operations do create jobs. I mean, that's a matter of fact. But, you know, the jobs are temporary. The resource is finite. Eventually, those jobs go away. And you can see that Grants and Gallup are one-time boom towns that are now bust towns. And that's the case throughout the West. And that won't change. So, I mean, one of the sort of bigger picture issues that the community members are working on and the Law Center is supporting is long-term and sustainable economic growth through various kinds of sustainable and long-term energy development projects, sustainable agricultural things like that, things that will provide long-term economic benefits for the community, but also won't lead to these long-term environmental and public health impacts.
Mount Taylor is a place where there's a lot of uranium. There were millions and millions of pounds of uranium extracted from it when it was active. Then the price of uranium dropped, and there is thought to be or known to be way more uranium still left inside. What are the factors that determine whether or not mining companies want to take it out of the mountain?
Well, there are a number of factors that determine whether mining companies take uranium out of the ground. One is obviously the demand for uranium. And at this point, the International Atomic Energy Agency is projecting that worldwide demand for uranium can be satisfied with existing operations for the next 20 years at least. So really, there's no need to open any additional mines worldwide. And, you know, this is a global economy and it's a global commodity market. So it's questionable whether any new mines need to be opened at all. That said, the other things that go into the consideration of whether to open a mine are how much it costs a company to produce the uranium, whether there's a place to process the uranium, a uranium mill, and the price of the commodity itself.
As I was reading about this whole issue, I thought, you know, the thing that's going to determine uranium mining on Mount Taylor ultimately will be whether the price of solar energy can be brought to a place where it's competitive with coal.
Well, I think that's part of it, yeah. But, you know, it's interesting that the sort of energy calculus doesn't seem in a lot of ways to follow necessarily the strict economic trends. There are a lot of political policy considerations involved as well that not only influence where and how energy sources are used, but also, you know, the price of being able to use that energy. So, you know, for example, nuclear energy, you know, is said to be, by industry people, to be competitive with renewable sources, but it's not a strictly free market equation there. Nuclear industry, from uranium mining to the processing plants to the power plants, get huge public subsidies. Without those public subsidies, would never be able to compete in the marketplace. It would just be far too expensive. So the bottom line price of generating energy is one consideration, but that's influenced in a lot of ways by public policy.
So basically, nuclear energy is the ultimate socialism.
Yes, it is. I mean, that's a good way to put it. It is the most socialized industry out there. It wouldn't exist without the largesse of government and taxpayers.
Let's talk about Mount Taylor and what it means to the people who live there. It was at some point designated as a traditional cultural property, but then that was reversed by a judge earlier this year. What's the cultural set of issues in Mount Taylor?
Well, Mount Taylor is an incredibly important cultural and spiritual mountain to the many of the tribes and pueblos in New Mexico and outside of New Mexico even. It's one of the four sacred mountains for the Navajo tribe that delineated the traditional homeland of the Navajos, where in their cosmology they emerged into this world from the third world. It's a very important culturally for the Acoma Pueblo, the Laguna Pueblo, and even tribes as far away as Arizona. The Hopi tribe consider it an important cultural mountain. So from a cultural perspective, it's incredibly important. Part of the reason for that is that because it's a significant source of watershed. It's the headwaters for Rio San Jose that flows into Acoma and has served for millennia as one of their major sources of irrigation. There are a lot of springs and natural sumps and seeps in the area. So, you know, it's been not only a cultural resource, as it were, but also a resource for sustenance. It's been a life-sustaining area for the people in that region for hundreds and hundreds of years.
Is there a way that it could be mined that would not ruin the water supply and the watershed that you're talking about?
Well, I mean, I guess it depends on what you mean by ruin. I think that the complete destruction of the watershed, it's feasible. I mean, it's imaginable something like that could happen. I think there'd have to be a substantial amount of mining to do that. But that said, uranium mining isn't something that can be done in an environmentally sound manner. I mean, the nature of uranium mining and resource extraction generally is that it's a very dirty and polluting industry. So there is going to be some ground and surface water and soil and air pollution. I mean, that's business.
And with that comes increased rates of cancer and all sorts of illnesses.
Generally, yeah. There isn't a whole lot of information out there about the public health effects of mining, uranium mining. And I think that that's, in some respects, a conscious policy choice on the part of governments, because once it becomes clear that these industries are real public health problems, then it becomes less likely that they get the green light to go forward. That said, within the last 5 years or so, there have been some very interesting community-based public health studies that are beginning to show that the people who live in proximity to these sort of operations end up having a range of health problems, from increased rates of cancer to increased rates of autoimmune disease, diabetes, cardiovascular disease, things like that.
Is it mostly Native people who end up being the miners?
Well, not necessarily. It certainly is mostly low-income people who end up being employed in these type of projects. And these type of projects are generally located in communities that are low-income and or of color. Because, you know, frankly, these kind of projects don't get done in well-to-do communities.
We're talking to Eric Jantz of the New Mexico Environmental Law Center. So what actually happened at the public hearing last week?
Well, I think that the public hearing last week is sort of a hint of what's to come with this administration. Like I said, the Law Center represented two community groups, Amigos Bravos and the Multicultural Alliance for a Safe Environment, MACE, in that hearing. We tried to put on testimony to encourage the Mining and Minerals Division to implement some interim reclamation projects, because it does look like groundwater is being contaminated by an old waste rock pile from the mine. But the hearing officer wouldn't allow us to present any testimony on groundwater contamination or any sort of reclamation, interim reclamation measures. And that was based on the objection of the mining company. It's interesting that the mining company was able to present all its witnesses and all the testimony it intended to place, but the community members were shut down completely.
Who makes the rules about that?
Well, the hearing officer was the person who ran the meeting. And in a large part, the hearing officer has discretion to run the meeting the way he sees fit. That said, there are some rules. I think that the hearing officer didn't properly follow those rules, and we're going to bring those errors to his attention. And our hope is that we'll be able to present the testimony we were originally intended to present based on these identification of these procedural errors that the hearing officer committed.
These are little steps along the way, a temporary permit, 5-year extension, these kinds of things. But in the big picture, what do you see as most beneficial to the citizens of the state of New Mexico, both economically and environmentally, in terms of dealing with the many kinds of mining and mineral extraction that we have in the state of New Mexico?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that the big picture and long-term solution to New Mexico's economic issues is pretty obviously renewable resources. I mean, mining laws and extraction laws, oil and gas laws, those are artifacts of the the 19th and early 20th century. They haven't changed that much. And the attitudes haven't changed that much. The attitude seems to be, and it's certainly the attitude with this administration, let's extract as much as we can. A few people get rich, and there's a lot of environmental contamination. I think that the way to start long-term and sustainable economic development in New Mexico is to start by cleaning up the mess of the last 100 years and then proceed to build and create a large and 21st century sustainable, renewable energy infrastructure.
Eric, anything else that you want to let people know before we go?
Yeah, I think that it's worth mentioning that the Mining and Minerals Division is still taking written comments on the Mount Taylor Mine standby permit application until Thursday, September 1st. You can get more information on that at the Law Center's website, www.nmelc.org.
Eric Jantz is staff attorney with the New Mexico Environmental Law Center. Thanks so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
My pleasure, Mary Charlotte.
You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're streaming live on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org. Thanks to Dotfoil Computer Services. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes. You can find us at facebook.com/radiocafe, and my email address is radiocafe@ksfr.org. Stay tuned for the BBC, then local news, then jazz.